Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to ATP Radio with Barry Nussbaum.
Hello and welcome to ATP Radio. Thanks for joining in today. I'm Barry Nussbaum. As always, I want to remind you that you're able to call in and throw your questions at me. The last couple of weeks, we've gotten just inundated with responses, so we can't get to everybody. And if you don't get your question answered live, I will try and get to it, maybe with a short snippet later. That number to call is 516-595-8069. And Annie, our tremendous producer, my partner at ATP, will answer and talk to you and get the questions to me. That number again is 516-595-8069. I also want to remind you, before we get started, if you haven't already subscribed to our text message alert system, please do that. You can do it with your cell phone right now. It'll take you about 5 seconds. Open up a blank text message, send the message in the little box at the bottom, type in truth, T-R-U-T-H, and up above where you put in a name, put in 88202, push send. You'll be signed up in about 5 seconds. It's absolutely free. You'll never miss a show, and you'll be able to get everything in the palm of your hand. In addition, if you sign up, you'll get a couple free chapters of my new book, Because You Asked, absolutely free. We'll send it to you as a thank you for signing up. And with that introduction, let's get going. Two big topics for today are, number one, President Biden has made a series of inexplicably bad appointments, and one that is massively terrible, and I'm going to tell you about it. And then in the main part of today's discussion, we're going to review the unprecedented American historical event, the same president impeached twice, and the trial is coming up next week. So let's kick it off with, what has Biden done? I'm not going to give you a complete summary. We've got about 10 shows from the last week that detail that fairly significantly. But today I'm going to talk about one appointment in particular. It's egregious. It's outrageous. It should never have happened. And I'm shocked that not only the White House apparently authorized it and is defending it, but so are Democratic colleagues on the Hill. What I'm referring to is the pick by Biden of Meir Bitar as Senior Director of Intelligence for the National Security Council. Now, last week we had Daniel Greenfeld on, who has done a lot of research on this character and has put out an article that has just scorched social media. I'm going to quote from it a little bit, and I'm also going to acknowledge it was Daniel's research that led this to prominence among conservatives for absolutely an outlandishly bad decision. So again, thank you, good friend of ATP, Daniel Greenfeld. So what has Biden done? Well, he put an aggressively anti-Israel activist and BDS supporter, remember, boycott, divestment, sanctions movement, at the NSC. This guy, Meir Bitar, has called for the destruction of Israel, our closest ally in the Middle East, one of our best friends around the world, and the first line of defense against Islamic terror. Biden puts him in an incredibly important position, and this is a guy that hates Israel. A few years ago, at a conference in Georgetown, Washington, for the Palestine Solidarity Movement, which is basically a BDS anti-Israel hate group, Bitar lectured on how best to demonize Israel. Here's what Daniel says. Quote, Bitar's rise through the ranks speaks to the abandonment of Israel by the Democrats and the ineptitude of pro-Israel advocates at fighting the personnel battles that define the government, unquote. So what does this guy stand for? Where has he been? What has he done? Well, Mayor Bitar is one of the executive board members of Students for Justice in Palestine, which is mostly not students and has nothing to do with justice. It advocates for the elimination of the state of Israel as we now know it. Bitar was one of the principal organizers of a 2006 conference, which was hosted at Georgetown University's SJP hate group. And a photo of him shows him dancing in a keffiyeh in front of a banner reading, Divest from Israel Apartheid. That's a lie that Bitar was celebrating by dancing. And now Biden has picked Mayor Bitar as the senior director for intelligence at the NSC. In his own words, this is what Bitar has said. Israel's political existence as a state is the cause for Palestinian dispossession and statelessness, he put in a paper. And Israel's rejection of the right of return remains the main obstacle to finding a durable solution, unquote. The so-called right of return means the destruction of Israel, which means millions and millions of Palestinians, of which there were only 40, 50,000 in 1948, there's now millions and millions of them. And if they were allowed into Israel, Israel would be a Muslim state, not a Jewish state. Support for an organization that wants to end Israel. That's your NSC advisor to President Biden. Now, Bitar could also be found presenting at the Sabeel conference that featured some of the worst bigots who hate Israel, like Rebecca Vilcomerson of Jewish Voice for Peace, who had invited a terrorist to address the BDS hate group, and Richard Falk, who had endorsed a book which wondered whether Hitler might have been right all along. They were on the same platform speaking together. Breitbart has picked up the article by Daniel. So has JNS. So has Caroline Glick. So has Zionist Organization of America. We had Daniel on last week, and because of him, the word is spreading. Fred Fleets, the president of the Center for Security Policy, tweeted, quote, this is outrageous, referring to Bitar's nomination, and should be reversed as soon as possible. Mayor Bitar is an Israel hater as well as completely unqualified to oversee intelligence for the National Security Council. Did Joe Biden approve this, or is he unaware of what's going on in his own administration? Newt Gingrich, the Republican Jewish Coalition, and others are piling on as well. But as you might expect, ATP listeners, the Democrats are jumping on the Go Bitar bandwagon. Quote, we are appalled by the recent spurious accusations against our staff. We welcome oversight and scrutiny, but there's no justification for false and ad hominem attacks based on ethnic, racial, or religious identity, the NSC spokesperson said. Now, keep in mind, these are not ad hominem attacks. These are quoting Bitar's own words and quoting where he appeared, under what pretenses, and who spoke with him. In each circumstance, this guy's hatred for Israel is apparent, is obvious, and is unable to be sold or spun in another direction. This has nothing to do with prejudice. This has nothing to do with some sort of, well, sounds like he has an Arab name, so he can't be there. It has to do with the fact that he hates Israel, our closest ally, and now he is going to be the liaison between the President of the United States and the National Security Council. And listen to what Adam Schiff had to say. You know Adam, the I hate Trump guy from the House Intelligence Committee, Mr. Impeach the President every hour and a half. Quote, Meir Bitar is exceedingly smart, principled, insightful, and strategic. These attacks on his religion, that's a lie, and ethnicity, that's a lie, are beyond the pale. NSC is fortunate to have people of his talent just like we were. Our nation is more secure. Patriotic public servants like him, Adam Schiff tweeted. But Adam Schiff did not respond to questions about Bitar's backing for BDS. Here's another defense from the Democrat Congress. Quote, the spurious attacks of my former colleague Meir Bitar, recently appointed to the NSC, are disgusting, racist, and unacceptable. Meir is brilliant, committed public servant who has dedicated his considerable talents to defending our country. These attacks must cease immediately from Daniel Goldman, who was with Schiff on the impeachment inquiry. Goldman did not respond to inquiries about what the attacks were, what was said about his religion or his ethnicity, or how to justify his BDS. Joaquin Castro, a very left-wing progressive, tweeted, I work with Meir Bitar on House Intel. He's a dedicated public servant, and we will work hard on the NSC to keep the American people safe. Any insinuation that he can't do his job based on his religion or ethnicity is downright offensive and unacceptable. So it seems to me that it's okay to appoint someone who's a racist, an anti-Zionist, an anti-Semite, but if you quote his words, now you're the racist, and you have some sort of ethnophobia, and you're probably an Islamophobe. But it's clear, and I want to be abundantly clear, nobody is faulting this fellow for his religion, his background, and certainly not his ethnicity. What they're fighting him on is his own words, where he claims positions that are, well, opposed to what was, up till a few weeks ago, and for decades, American foreign policy, which is support for the state of Israel. So what's happening is the Democrats who support this nomination within the House are spreading lies that Bitar is being attacked because of his background, which is not true. I can't find one quote that attacks his background. And they don't defend anything he says. They just say that attacking the nomination must mean that you're a racist or an Islamophobe. I'm disgusted by it, and I wish we could return back to the days of discussion on policy rather than throwing all kinds of distractions at the discussion to distract. Roger is calling in and wants to know what happened to our pro-Israel stance that a guy like this could get such an important job. Great question, Roger. And I think it speaks to the fact that Joe Biden is president, claims to be a moderate. He's not. He's a left winger. Claims to support Israel. I'm getting more and more concerned about that. But the reality is certain members of the Democrat Party, specifically within the squad, have made it very clear they don't like Israel. They support anti-Israel hate groups. And it's obvious that's why Bitar is there. And we have gotten so buried, Roger, in partisan politics within this country that we can't have a discussion on policy or political beliefs without it descending very rapidly into this weird nexus that if you disagree with me, it's because you're a racist or you're a Nazi or you're a bigot or you're a misogynist or you're an Islamophobe. Just pick whatever you want. Those are the reactions, and they have no basis, especially in this case, on the reality of what exists out there. Here's another question. It looks like the fellow's name is Lawrence. What will happen to the peace deals Trump made with this guy being involved now? Oh, my God. That's exactly what I'm worried about. Great question. The Abraham Accords. If there ever was a Nobel Prize earned, it belongs in Trump's hand and Jared Kushner's hands for pulling off a miracle. Trump, in the last few months of his administration, along with Jared Kushner, created peace accords with the Sunni Arab states more than had been done in the previous 50 years. Make it 70 years since the founding of the State of Israel, and deserves the Peace Prize. And if he doesn't get it, I mean what I'm going to tell you. Those prizes mean nothing. Now, I was probably already there at the idea that the prizes mean nothing, because they gave one to Barack Obama before he was even president, based on the fact that he was going to be president and he had been a community organizer. I'm not making this up. It's true. That's what happened. So for many people, the peace prizes have become irrelevant. I'm one of those. All right. I think you got my point. Bad dude. And he's in. Make noise. Call your representatives. That's your job as citizens. Tell them you don't want an Israel hater in such a position of responsibility. Now let's talk about our big topic. But before I do, please, please, please do us a favor. It's a big one. It's going to take you about 8 seconds. Pull out your cell phone right now. Open up a blank text message. At the top of your message, whether you've got a Google, Android, Apple, whatever, I think the text message alert systems are basically the same. Just open up a blank text message, and on the top line where it says 2, instead of a name, type in 88202. And down below in the message box, type in the word truth, push send. You'll be automatically subscribed to all of our future shows at no charge, absolutely free. You'll get all the notifications on your cell phone, articles, radio, television, with all of our guests, absolutely for free. And as a thank you, you're going to get some of my new book because you asked, as a thank you from us to you. Okie dokie. All right. The big topic of today, President Trump is impeached again. Yeah. I know what you're thinking. He's not president anymore. You're right. How can you impeach someone if they're already gone? Number two, yeah, you're right. And that is going to be the big constitutional battle starting next week. If the purpose of impeachment is to remove someone from office that is unfit under the constitutional requirement of having committed one of two things, high crimes and misdemeanors, here's how you remove them. You literally impeach them, and they get removed. Make sense? But he's already gone. So let's first talk about No, I know. This is like the Twilight Zone. I'm sorry, but I don't make the news. I'm just telling you about it and explaining it. So let's back up a little bit. Why did he get impeached? We'll talk about that. And then we're going to talk about what's going to happen. And I'll circle back to the constitutional issue, I promise. So starting in December, Trump repeatedly, in numerous conversations with his base, all 75 million of which voted for him, he encouraged his base to show up for a big protest in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, which was going to be the day, which did happen, that Congress accepted the Electoral College presentation. And I'm going to read you a couple of the different speeches and what he said. And you pretend you're sitting in the Senate to judge this speech. Okay? In Georgia, on January 4th, Trump told supporters, quote, "We're going to take back what they did to us on November 3rd. We're going to take it back." What does that mean? I'm not sure. I think it means he's suggesting the election was fraudulently decided for Joe Biden, and there was going to be some way on January 6th to take back the vote. I'm thinking, and I don't know because I'm not a mind reader, what Trump meant was the Electoral College as submitted was going to be rejected in the Senate. There were senators that stood up and rejected the vote, and there were congressmen in the House that did the same. I think that's what he means. In his speech on the day of the Capitol riot, Trump praised his supporters for showing up to, quote, "save our democracy." And then he said, quote, "We're going to walk down to the Capitol. You have to show strength. You have to be strong." Doesn't sound bad to me. He's encouraging First Amendment rights of protest. Now, for a number of weeks before January 6th, he said he wanted his supporters to fight Congress on accepting the Electoral College results that ostensibly said that Joe Biden won. And here were his exact words, quote, "We're going to walk down to the Capitol and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. We're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength. You have to be strong." I would agree. Now, what happened? While Trump was speaking, before his speech was over, people that apparently weren't even at the speech gathered on one side of the Capitol building steps and made it very clear that they wanted in. Now, I've seen the videos. In the beginning, they were out there making a whole lot of noise. And then you can see Capitol Police opening the gates and letting everybody in. I fail to see how that's an invasion. That's more of a tour. Once they got in, a bunch of them got out of control. But the truth of the matter is the gates were opened and the videos are up for you to see. And those were uniformed Capitol Police officers inviting in the protesters. And keep in mind, when this happened, Trump was still speaking. And we had two ATP reporters there, and both of them said the same thing. You could not have gotten from his speech to the Capitol while Trump was still speaking. The people at the Capitol were already there. It's too far to go. Now, earlier in the day, there was a Save America rally organized by a group called Women for America First, and they promoted the gathering to show protest. Now, some of them said some things that were incendiary. Trump didn't. What really got the media riled up is Trump said over and over and over again that the election was rigged, that he didn't lose, but it was fraud that gave the victory to Joe Biden. it sure seems, based on what I've seen, there is a mountain of evidence to support that position. But even if there weren't, doesn't it seem that Trump having that opinion is acceptable? Do you realize when Gore lost, based on what happened in Florida, Democrats screamed election fraud for 6 months? And after George W. Bush was inaugurated in 2000, an extraordinarily high number of Democrats for years said, he's not my president. Nobody seems to remember that. Do you remember when Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump? She said it's because the election was rigged, and her followers for 4 years refused to say, Donald Trump is my president. The election was stolen. It was rigged, blah, 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 blah. There's a huge difference, ladies and gentlemen. Now, there are thousands of affidavits, which are sworn statements given by, I'm talking about some seriously qualified people, like election observers, state officials, attorneys that were there. And I'm not talking about one or two. I'm talking about in Nevada, in Arizona, in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota, where Wisconsin, where there are hundreds of witnesses willing to testify. Now, I don't mean a cranky Hillary Clinton, I lost, the election was stolen, or Al Gore 21 years ago, I got the election stolen, I'm mad. I mean thousands of witnesses in the states I just mentioned. It's a completely different situation. And yet then it was okay with no evidence, and now it's some sort of crime against humanity, worthy of his people filed dozens of court cases, none of which had a hearing on the facts, but for various procedural issues were never considered. So to say Trump lost in court dozens of times is a misrepresentation. Trump never got into court. The hearings were never held. There may be some at some point in the future, either in court or in the various states, in their legislatures, or on a congressional level. But Biden is still the president and will remain so regardless of what is found. Here's another quote that will be presented at the trial, I assume, next week. Quote, this is from Trump. Republican senators have to get tougher or you won't have a Republican Party anymore. We won the presidential election by a lot. Fight for it. Don't let them take it away. That doesn't sound incendiary. I think it's a very true statement. And they should fight for it, because if you don't fight for your democracy, you lose your democracy. Tweet after tweet after tweet that I'm looking at. December 12th, he said, wow, thousands of people forming in Washington, D.C. for Stop the Steal rally. Don't know about this, but I'll be seeing them. Another one, December 12th, we have just begun to fight. On December 19th, he tweeted his praise for a report by his advisor, Peter Navarro, alleging election fraud. Quote, a great report by Peter, statistically impossible to have lost the 2020 election. Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there. I'm scanning through about a dozen of these that have been retweeted by everybody, where Trump says over and over again, we must continue the fight. We can't let them take the House, the Senate, and the White House. We're going to fight like hell. We're going to take it back. You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's all true. And it's all acceptable free speech. and it's not an incitement to riot. Literally, as I'm sitting here talking to you on the radio today, I have looked at about 30 quotes from Trump. And this is about the most graphic tweet that is being cited as an incitement to riot. I'm going to read the whole thing to you, and you tell me what you think of it. Quote, Republicans are constantly fighting like a boxer with his hands tied behind his back. It's like a boxer, and we want to be so nice. We want to be so respectful of everybody, including bad people. We're going to have to fight much harder, and Mike Pence is going to have to come through for us. And if he doesn't, that will be a sad day for our country, because you're sworn to uphold our Constitution. Now it's up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. I agree. And then Trump, in his speech on the 6th, said, quote, and after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down anyone you want. But I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol, and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and our congressmen and women. We're probably not going to be cheering for some of them, because they'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength. And then here's the most important quote from Trump at the rally on January 6th. We have to come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated, lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Let me read it to you again. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. And he continues, today we will see whether Republicans stand strong for the integrity of our elections, but whether or not they stand strong for our country has been under siege for a long time, far longer than this four-year period. So before he'd finished his speech, the crowds were already at the Capitol. Trump never went down there. But he said, please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They're truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful. I'll read it again. Please support our Capitol Police and law enforcement. They're truly on the side of our country. Stay peaceful. And after he released a video statement, he said, we have to have peace. So go home. We love you. You're very special. Kathy wants to know, Biden administration is doing everything anti-constitutional, so what is there left for us to do to stop them, including this impeachment charade? Kathy, I've got a lot of problems with what's happened in the first couple weeks of the Biden administration, not the least of which is he's that he would never be a president that governed by executive order, because they are extra legislative, meaning the House and the Senate didn't get to opine, didn't have to approve or disapprove. There was no public debate. He's just signing executive orders, more than every president in the last 50 years combined. Are you hearing me? And Joe Biden said, you can't govern by executive orders. That makes you a dictator. Joe Biden said that before he was president, when he was running for president. And he lied. He has done exactly what he said he wouldn't do. And yes, Kathy, he is, in my opinion, acting as a dictator. In fact, as we put up a week ago, we found the video that the White House released where Biden actually says, as he begins to sign one of those executive orders that are stacked up next to him, like the return desk at the public library, I don't know what I'm signing. And he signs it anyway. Somebody is pulling the strings. The man is not in charge. He couldn't even read what he was being told to sign. So what is there left to do, Kathy, in specific answer to your question? Call your representatives repeatedly. Be loud. Do exactly what President Trump told you to do. Make your voices heard. Tell them you think this impeachment is a charade. And quite frankly, that you want your congressman to stand up against it. So based on what I've just described, all the things that Trump did, the House impeached him again. No witnesses, just a vote. So what did the impeachment managers say in their brief they've just now released today? Here it is. Quote, former President Trump bears unmistakable blame for sending a violent mob of his supporters to the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. They continue, President Trump endangered the lives of all lawmakers when he aimed his supporters like a loaded cannon at the Capitol. His conduct endangered the life of every single member of Congress, jeopardized the peaceful transition of power and line of succession, and compromised our national security. This is precisely the sort of constitutional offense that warrants disqualification from federal offices. There's more. Provoking an insurrectionary act riot against a joint session of Congress after losing an election is not an impeachable offense. It's hard to imagine what would be. So in other words, Democrats are saying President Trump must be held accountable for inciting the mob by telling the lie that the election was stolen. And what was written in the brief is, quote, the only honorable path at that point was for President Trump to accept the results and concede his defeat. Instead, he summoned a mob to Washington, exhorted them into a frenzy, and aimed them like a loaded cannon down Pennsylvania Avenue. It is the right thing, they say, to convict him, to unite the country. Quote, a president who violently attacks the democratic process has no right to participate in it. Only after he's held to account for his actions can the nation move forward with unity of purpose and commitment to the Constitution. I'm stunned by this idiotic misinterpretation of what happened. I read you the quotes. Those were the strongest quotes. I left out the weaker ones because they were just conversation. Did you ever hear a quote saying, let's go break into the Capitol, let's attack Congress, let's prevent a vote? No. On a number of occasions, he said, be peaceful, respect the police, but make your voices heard, which is exactly what our reporters said happened amongst the millions that attended the rally. The crazies on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, according to numerous videos and numerous testimonies, were mostly Antifa. There, bust in, wearing their black box garb to be able to attack without fear of being hurt so much. In addition, for some bizarre reason, the Capitol Police let them in. Jonathan Turley, who was called as a witness in the first impeachment trial, to testify in favor of impeachment, quoted novelist Franz Kafka. Kafka wrote, quote, "My guiding principle is this, guilt is never to be doubted," unquote. And Turley just wrote an essay for The Hill, and he says, quote, "Democrats suddenly appear close to adopting Kafka's standard into the Constitution as they prepare for the second impeachment of President Trump. They're seeking his removal for incitement. And if they do, Democrats would not only gut the impeachment standard, but also free speech, all in a mad rush to remove Trump." Now, Turley's not a Tea Party activist or a member of any conservative group. He's an avowed, self-avowed, liberal constitutional scholar. But Turley concludes, "Trump's address does not meet the definition for incitement under the criminal code." Turley concludes, as a constitutional scholar, his speech, Trump's speech, would be viewed as protected speech by the Supreme Court. Turley concludes, incitement to riot is a crime, and it has a specific definition. For someone to be guilty of this crime, the person must have urged the listeners to his speech or other talks to take violent action. Otherwise, Bernie Sanders could be held accountable because one of his supporters shot and almost killed a Republican member of Congress, Steve Scalise. But Sanders didn't urge any of his supporters to shoot anybody. He just urged them to take action. Nobody even talked about removing Bernie Sanders. Why? Because it's free speech. The Democrats are expanding impeachment to not mean what it says in the Constitution. Hurley says, "The damage done by the rioters was enormous. However, it will pale in comparison to the damage from a new precedent of a snap impeachment for speech that is protected under the First Amendment. This is the very threat the framers sought to avoid in crafting the impeachment standard." So now, as we consider what's happened in the last few weeks, the Democrats were pushing Mike Pence and the cabinet to remove President Trump by the 25th Amendment. The 25th Amendment refers to the incapacity of the president to continue, i.e., the president's had a stroke, like Roosevelt, or was shot, like Kennedy. Kennedy survived for half an hour. He was incapacitated, would not have been able, had he lived in a coma, to continue being president. That is what the 25th Amendment is for. Not because you dislike the guy and his policies, and not because you don't have enough time for an impeachment. The 25th Amendment was not proposed and passed in order to remove someone you don't like. It's literally for one purpose only. The president is there and incapacitated. The removal process is impeachment. But now we get to the next question. He's gone. You can't remove someone who's gone. It's like digging up the body in the cemetery and shooting the body of the guy that died last month. It's kind of gross, but you're not killing him. He's already gone. So what's going to happen? Well, 45 GOP senators have already voted to toss the impeachment as unconstitutional. Five wanted to continue. However, to convict, you need two-thirds, 67 conversion votes, which would be, I mean by conversion, all the Dems and a certain amount of Republicans, 17, have to cross the aisle. Ain't going to happen. The impeachment is dead on arrival. What they're trying to do is tar him again. to embarrass, humiliate, and make him unable to run. Now, here's a constitutional question that nobody seems to be able to answer. What does it mean if he were to be convicted? He's already out of office. Would that mean he can't run again? Probably. It's never happened. There's never been a situation like this. Donald Trump is a private citizen. As Rand Paul said on the floor of the Senate last week, private citizens don't get impeached. Impeachment is for removal from office. And the accused here has already left office. But all 100 senators were now sworn in as jurors in Trump's second impeachment trial. And Patrick Leahy, a senator from Vermont, the oldest guy in the Senate who's barely there, is going to preside because John Roberts said he's not going to do it. And John Roberts is not going to do it because the Supreme Court's head or the Chief Justice is to preside over a trial to remove someone from office. There's never been an impeachment for someone who has already left the White House. And there's going to be ramifications. Former Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski started a new PAC, and he's going to target the 10 Republicans who joined the Democrats in the House vote to impeach, starting with Liz Cheney from Wyoming, who is now extremely, overwhelmingly unpopular in her own state and is going to be primaried. And they're raising money to fight the rest. A recent poll in Wyoming said 73% of Wyoming citizens are upset with Liz Cheney for voting to impeach. So Lewandowski explained the mission of his new PAC is to, quote, fight to take back America, and it started already. We have this question. I don't have the name. Although, I think it's from Kathy as well. Since they can impeach Trump after he left the White House, can he continue with his lawsuits in swing states? Yes, he can, but I think they're moot. And what I mean by that is legally moot. At some point, there will be an investigation, God willing, and they will come to the conclusion that I believe is the truth, which is to say the election was stolen. I believe that to be true. I truly believe that to be true. But what does that do? Well, I guess it vindicates Trump. I guess it vindicates all the people that testified. I guess it vindicates the belief of at least half of America that there was shenanigans in. What's it going to do? Well, it ain't going to make Trump president. But it very well may build huge momentum for 2024, the next presidential election. Will this impeachment possibly block President Trump to run again? Not without a conviction, which will never happen. I'm guaranteeing that. But with the conviction, I think so. It's not happened like this before. Everybody is confused simply because, for no other reason, we're in new territory. But I want to make one thing abundantly clear to all of you. You can't remove someone who's already been removed. I can't say it any clearer than that. You cannot remove somebody who's already been removed. That's what happens in an impeachment. Okay? If you impeach, which is an indictment in the House, and you have a trial in the Senate, the conviction removes the person from office. There has never been a presidential impeachment to remove a president that is already. Am I clear? This is BS. It is absurd. And with all of the emergencies the country is handling now, or should be, there's going to be a trial. And now, nothing else is going to get done except this. And the rumor is they're not even going to call witnesses. I mean, I know of two or three that were there that have videotaped that I've seen. It was about as peaceful as a 4th of July picnic at noon. Little kids with their moms and dads and grandparents and American flags sharing water and food and hugging and singing and praying. One guy in particular that we had interviewed said he spent 9 or 10 hours on the mall waiting to get in, getting in, listening to the president, going home. He had no idea what had happened at the Capitol and no idea it had anything to do with Trump till he went home and saw it on CNN, who said Trump did it. I'm sure the Senate, after 20 or 30 or 50 or 100 or 500 of those people were called as witnesses, there were millions there. Millions there. It may very well have been the biggest rally in American history on the Mall, according to some estimates, bigger than the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream speech, which was the biggest. This literally will be a circus next week. Or maybe there'll be a quick vote, it'll be over, and people can go back to work. My guess is it'll probably be the latter, because it'll be humiliating for the Democrats to listen to witness after witness after witness after witness all saying the same thing, which is Trump didn't do it. It was peaceful and nice where we were. Quick question from Annie. What are my thoughts on the California recall of Newsom? Well, when you really screw up, like what Newsom has done, the voters in California, the Assembly and the Senate, don't remove him. The voters do. And they are almost at the threshold right now to have enough signatures on a ballot initiative to remove Newsom from office. He has single-handedly, and I mean that literally, with his policy decisions, destroyed the economy of California. He deserves to go. Before we wrap up, I want to remind you, please sign up for our text message alert system. Open up a blank text message. Type the message TRUTH and send it to 88202. The number is 88202. Push send. You'll be signed up for free. You'll get all of our stuff on your phone for free. All you have to do is push the button. It'll take about 5 seconds, and we never charge for content. Or you can go to our website, americantruthproject.org, and sign up there. In both cases, you'll get a couple of free chapters in my new book, Because You Asked, as a thank you. And hopefully you'll like it, and you'll want to read the rest, and we'll show you how to do that. So again, America, we're in for a wild week next week. Get prepared for more bizarre congressional hearings as the Senate considers the trial of Donald Trump. Thanks for joining me today on ATP Radio. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you'll be back next week, same time, same channel. For ATP Radio, I'm Barry Nussbaum.
You were listening to ATP Radio. Make sure to text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, to 88202 to be notified of our future radio shows.